All right, if you'll take your Bibles with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 is where we'll be tonight. Teach, train, mentor. Mr. Bunn said it. That's one of his mottos. That's the motto that we have at Master's Club. And it extends both to those of us who are in the leadership, the teach, train, and mentor, like he said, but it also extends to the kids that we're with as well. When you teach, we want to discover the truth to them. We want to instruct them and to educate them in the right way. To train, we want to prepare them for the challenges that are going to lie ahead. And to mentor, we want to provide personal, individualized guidance and instruction so that we can help them to grow in their spiritual walks. Summarized in one word, teach, train, and mentor, it's the idea of discipleship. And when it comes to discipleship is not just something that God wants our kids to do, and it's not just something that God wants the spiritual people to do. No, God wants each one of us in our Christian lives to be disciples of himself. And when we come to Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, we find that Jesus himself is giving his call to the multitudes, calling them to discipleship. And what I want us to see this evening is that we each need to examine our own lives, our own discipleship, to see how well that we are fulfilling these callings that Jesus gives to us here in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're the best disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ that we can be. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, and follow me." Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have tonight to be able to open your word and pray for your blessing upon the preaching. We pray that your spirit would be in it and that you would move our hearts and challenge us to be better disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. From this passage, I want us to see three characteristics of a healthy disciple. And the first characteristic is that we must be determined. We must be determined. We find that where it says, "Whosoever will come after me." For us to be determined, it's for us to be resolute, having reached a decision. And Jesus is calling them. He's calling them to a decision. "Whosoever will come after me." At first, it kind of sounds predictive, almost, you know, whosoever is going to come after me, or, you know, whosoever at some point is going to come after me. But that's not actually what it's saying. What it's saying is whosoever wills to come after me, or desires or chooses to come after me. And Jesus is giving his call to the multitude, and he's saying, whosoever desires to come after me, whosoever decides to come after me. And that first step that we must make in our discipleship is that decision. That initial decision that we have to make to follow Christ. But beyond that, discipleship is not just a one-time decision. Discipleship is a decision that we have to make day after day after day, and choice after choice after choice. It's an ongoing action. It's a present action that we continuously have to make. So it indicates that if we really want to be disciples, then we'll have to be making this determination continually. It's a long-term propensity that we have in our spiritual lives for following after Christ. So as each situation comes, we have to make that determination. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what I want to do? It's interesting. I was reading a little bit about D.L. Moody, and I'm not entirely sure of how accurate this is. I'll throw that out there. I didn't dig too deep on it, but I read about where D.L. Moody when D.L. Moody was reaching when he was in evangelism to the young kids up in Chicago, he would go into the slums and he would just go hard after those kids. He would seek to keep going after them, see them to come to the services. And if he knew that one of the kids wasn't there, then he would try to figure out why they weren't there. And there was one instance where he saw this young girl who he recognized. She had been to the services that he had been holding, but she had missed a couple of them. So he wanted to go after them. He wanted to go after her and ask her about it. But when she saw him, she turned around and ran away. So she ran down the street. She ran across the street. She ran into the saloon, up the stairs, into her bedroom, and under a bed. And Mr. Moody chased her the whole way. And when he got there, his mom met him and asked, "What are you doing?" And he explained, "I am Mr. Moody, and I want to see your family. Come to my Sunday school classes." And it wasn't too long where he had the whole family coming to his classes because he was determined. Not only did he make the one-time decision to go after these children, but it was a continuous action. And week after week after week, he had to continue pursuing after them to see them to come. It was an ongoing action that he had to make. And in the same way, when it comes to our discipleship, yes, there has to be that first step. After we get saved, we have to determine, you know what, I want to follow Christ. But I would say that for the most, if not all of us in this room, we're beyond that point, but we're never beyond the point of that continuous opportunities that we have to decide, you know what, I am going to make Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm going to obey what he wants me to do. I am going to do my best to yield my life to Christ and to be the reflection of Jesus that he wants me to be. So being a disciple involves being determined. But second of all, it involves being devoted. He says, after whosoever will come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross. To be devoted to something is to be loyal, to be supportive, to have your allegiance towards that thing. So when it comes to being a disciple, to being a devoted disciple, your loyalty is now given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Naturally, as human beings, we want to have our loyalty to ourselves. You know, if we see dessert, we want to eat it regardless of how much dessert we've already had. You know, whatever makes us feel good, whatever our bodies, ourselves dictate, we want that to be Lord. But Jesus said, no, if you're going to be a disciple of me, if you're going to choose to come after me, then you're going to have to deny yourself. So that your lordship, your loyalty changes from no longer is it yourself to now is it the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's the one that makes the decisions and you're the one who follows his directives. To deny himself and to take up the cross. There are a lot of ways that we have to learn to deny ourselves. Of all people, we Americans probably know the most about desires because not only do we have a lot of opportunities, a lot of desires presented to us or sometimes forced upon us, trying to you know, pull those desires out of us, all those commercials and things to, you know, eke out those desires. We also have a lot of opportunity to be able to fulfill those desires because God has blessed us materially with a lot of riches and capability, and that's not inherently a bad thing, but sometimes we use that and spend it on ourselves. And we're not devoting that to the Lord. We're not letting him choose what he wants to be done with those things. And we end up fulfilling a lot of our own desires. We know a lot about our desires. We have social desires. You know, there's a certain status that we like people to see us with, or a certain position that we want to achieve. We have emotional desires. You know, there's a certain kind of connection that we want to make with people, that a certain kind of love that we want people to have towards us and a certain kind of love that we have towards other people. There's spiritual desires that we have. We should want to be growing and to seeking to follow the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of desires that we have, but in each of our desires, in each area of our desires, his desires have to be the priority. So I ask you, are there areas in your life where maybe you're on the fence a little bit. Sometimes, you know, you let him make the decision, but sometimes you make the decision yourself. And Jesus wants us to continually to be making those decisions to let him take control of our desires. Not only do we have to deny ourselves, but to take up our cross. And taking up our cross, it's identifying with Jesus and the associations that come with that and the sufferings which that brings. You know, there's a lot that's going to be demanded on us if we want to follow Christ. And really, no matter what we follow, there's going to be a cost to it either way. I mean, you think the way the transgressor is hard. We can still follow the things that we want to do. We can still follow the world, and there's still going to be a cost to that. But you remember what Jesus said? He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. His cost is a much greater cost for us than if we were to choose our own desires. But sometimes, if we truly want to follow after Christ and we want to be devoted to him, then we're going to have to take a little bit of heat. You know, at the workplace, maybe people are going to think that we're a little bit weird, that we keep bringing up spiritual things, or, you know, asking, why do they keep asking if there's anything I can pray for them? Or even around spiritual people sometimes, you know, there's a certain peer pressure. There's always going to be certain ways in which we're going to be, in a way, suffering for Jesus. And I almost hate to say that, because it is true. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways as Americans that a lot of the suffering which people experience in other areas of the world, we don't experience in the same way. But there's still always going to be sufferings in our lives, no matter who our lives are, that we're going to have to suffer for Jesus and for his sake. And that's part of the cost that we're going to have to decide in that decision to be devoted to Christ. Am I going to take up his cross? So we see the disciple is determined and devoted. We also see that a healthy disciple is driven. And the last part of the verse says, and follow me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. To be driven is to be impassioned by something. It's to be compelled for something. One of the first things that came to my mind when I thought about being driven about something was a basketball season that we call March Madness. You know, we just recently came through that and recently had the championship game, which is the culmination of it all. But March Madness, because people are really devoted to their sports, really devoted to basketball, to the point that it almost seems like they've become mad over it. It's got this name of March Madness because they are driven. They are impassioned about the sport of basketball. And here comes the March Madness. There's the playoff games. There's all these upsets. There's all these possibilities. You know, but people are very passionate about it. I also think of my favorite season is the football season. But I think, you know, a football game, if it happens on Saturday afternoon, sometimes there's people who fly halfway across the country just to watch a football game. There's people who spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on tickets so that they can go to these games because they are devoted to these causes. And as Christians, while it is good for us, we're to be in the world but not of the world, it's not a bad thing for us to have certain kinds of desires and devotions in that sense. All of our desires become subservient to our devotion to him and our drive for his causes. Right. So you know what that means? That means that church becomes a priority over sports practices because it's subservient to my drive for his sake. Amen. You know what? Sleeping in on Saturday morning, I can sleep in as long as I can, but so long as I make Saturday visitation because his desires, I am driven for his sake more than I am for my own. There's a drive which we have to have if we truly want to be healthy disciples. It's interesting to look and see where this phrase follow me is used in other passages, and it helps us to get an idea of some of the characteristics in which we can apply as we're following him. Matthew 4:20 says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. You know, we should follow Jesus with an immediacy. Immediately. It says, and straightway they left their nets and they followed him. In Matthew 9:27, it says that two blind men followed Jesus, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. You know, these men, they were very passionate in the way that they followed Jesus. Where it says, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. When Peter said that, there was an entirety with which they followed Jesus. We have forsaken all so that we can follow thee. In Matthew 20:34, it says, immediately they received their sight and they followed him. And you know what? I bet they did that with a little bit of gratitude because the Lord had restored their sight. And because of that, they were thankful to the Lord and grateful to the Lord. And because of that, they followed him. Mark 5:24 says, and much people followed him and thronged him. And they did this because they anticipated what was going to happen. There was an anticipation about what was going to happen, what Jesus was going to do. So they followed him. In Matthew 9:9, Jesus says, follow me. He's calling to his disciples. And there was an obedience that followed. And in Mark 1:18, it says that the disciples forsook their nets and followed him. There's a single-mindedness. There's a focus about this following. So immediate, passionate, entirely, gratefully, obediently, single-mindedly. These are the characteristics of our drive that should characterize our drive, our desire when we're following him. Do these characterize your discipleship? My discipleship? So are we compelled to follow Jesus? See, Jesus here, he's giving a call to the crowds. It says, and when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take his cross, and follow me. But in the crowd that he's talking to, there's two different groups. There's the multitudes, which he's calling together, and then there's his disciples. And I know that when it says his disciples, it's talking about the 12. But in that multitude, there were some who already were his disciples, and there were some who weren't. And it's like that, potentially among us today, in the multitudes, there's going to be a mixture of people. There's going to be people who maybe they haven't made that decision yet to follow Jesus. Maybe they haven't made that initial decision yet. Maybe there's some who they have, and they are trying to follow Jesus, and they need to be encouraged to have that continual aspect to their deciding to follow after Christ. And it's important for us that we examine our lives and examine our own discipleship so that we can see if we are determined, devoted, and driven. And it may be that in one area, we're very strong, you know, but then in another area, we fall short. To each his own, it's imperative for us that we need to be examining ourselves. And when Jesus gives his call, we need to examine our own hearts and see, how do we align with that? Are there certain areas that we need to pick up the pace a little bit so that we can be disciples of Jesus Christ? Because as a church, it's good for us to have a master club program where we can teach, train, and mentor, but really, we can't do it without the support of the church. And we can't teach these children to be disciples without the backing of a church who themselves are committed to personal discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, that's the great commission that the Lord has given unto us, which says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And where he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. It's a call to discipleship. So I want to challenge you this evening to live the life of a determined, devoted, and driven disciple so that we can be healthy disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ and so that one day we can hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, as we've been faithful disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer.